this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
So I'm just quickly going to just testify about the Lord's goodness.
Good morning, everyone. I just quickly want to share what happened to me this week. I've shared it with some of you guys, so it's going to be the second round that you hear this, maybe the third already. So those of you who know me know that I'm still studying towards finishing my qualification. I studied actuarial science, and it's a very long road to finish the qualification, so I'm still busy doing that. So last year, I took a break of studying because I study while working. So I just took a break because I felt that that's what God said I need to do. And I also really needed it. So at the beginning of this year, obviously, I prayed about it and asked the Lord, you know, if he wants me to study again this year, or, you know, what's up, if this is the season or not. And then I felt like God say, you know, it's fine. He gives me the green light. I can study. But I needed something more substantial than that, because studying while working is extremely tedious for me. It's an emotional roller coaster. You work hard, you study hard, and you don't always pass the first time. And you study like 6 months of the year, so it's quite hectic. So I just needed something more substantial from the Lord. So I made a deal with God, and this was right at the beginning of this year. I told him that if he gives me the money that I need to study, because it's quite expensive to write the exams, then I would know that this is from him. So what happened was, I made the calculation for God, saying, okay, this is the 3 exams that I wanted to write. So being mathematical and all that, I helped God out a little. So I told God, okay, I need X amount, and I left it, and I forgot about it, and I had a lot of peace about it as well, knowing that, you know, if God wants me to write the exams, he'll give me the money, and if not, then I'm quite fine with that. Then I know this is not actually what he wants me to do this year. So I forgot about it, and I made sure that nobody knew about it as well. So I didn't tell any family. I didn't leave any loopholes for God. I wanted to have supernatural provision from him. So what happened is, I forgot about it. I mean, I just asked a few small group members to pray with me, but I can't remember quoting the amount to them. So, yeah, in my mind, yeah, the Lord is good. So what happened was, on Wednesday morning, I woke up and I got an SMS notification on my phone saying that 15,000 Rand has been deposited into my account. And the reference that was used was the word father. So my first thought was, it's my own dad, which didn't make sense. I wouldn't know why he would use the word father. I mean, I never call him father. So I just spoke to my dad, and he said, no, he didn't pay any money into my account. So my second thought was, okay, this must be a mistake. Someone punched in the wrong banking details. Someone's own father deposited into it, made the deposit, but it wasn't my own natural father. Anyway, so I got to work, phoned the bank, said, okay, well, they can see that the money was paid into my account. I can see who it was, but they are not allowed to disclose who it was, but they will speak to the person who made the payment and then get back to me. And if there's any mistake or whatever, we'll sort it out. So they phoned me back 5 minutes afterwards, and then the guy from the bank says, no, he just spoke to the man who made the deposit. It's a guy. That's all I know. And the guy said he knows exactly who I am, and the money was intended for me. So then I thought, okay, well, clearly this is Lord now doing something. So it's only after, like, my third thought was only that this was now God supplying the money for me to write my exams. So I went back to my calculations, the calculations I did for the Lord at the beginning of this year, and my exam fees for this year accounts to around about 13,500 Rand, which means there was exactly 10% left to pay towards the tithe. So it's just all the glory to God, and I just want to encourage you all that if God could provide for me to write exams, then how much more will he not supply in every other need? And yeah, this is just amazing. Yeah.
Amen. Well, it's time for me to do some promos for these little guys that are pew warmers. My name is Trevor Gething, and this is my wife, Sharon. We've been in children ministry for about 15 years. It's been our passion. It's been our calling. God called me one day when I was sitting in a chair like this, and I was actually thinking to myself, we were in Rhema. We're still in Rhema, but I was sitting there, and I'm technically minded. He turned around and he said to me, listen, you know, you've got to do something. I was itchy. Something had to happen. So I just thought, technically, I can go and do the sound desk. I can probably go and help with the television ministry or something to that effect, that I'm technically minded. That's where I wanted to be. So I thought nothing of it. And I thought, yeah, next week. We'll do that next week. At home cell, we ran a home cell. And at home cell, one of my friends, Quibus, came to me and said, listen, because whenever we had a braai or anything like this, Trevor's in the pool with the kids. He's throwing them off his shoulder and he's dunking them and he's playing in the mud and he's having fun. While everyone else is braaiing, Trevor's having a lot of fun with the kids. So he came to me and he said, I see you like the children. There's a place out in Rustenburg that got a conference on. Go to the conference and just see. Maybe you can do something there, you know. There's something for you to do. So I said, okay, cool. So I said to Sharon, may I go? She said, yes, you can go. She said, no, that's fine. You can go. So it was a whole weekend. And what it was a puppet festival for children's ministers who teach children at Jackson's Ridge. So we went there and I thought, okay, this is cool. This is my cup of tea. I'm going to enjoy myself. And it was a training session on how to do puppetry and different types of training for teaching children's ministers. While I was there, the funny thing is the pastor for the children's church at Rhema was there as well. So we were sitting and he happened to come to the divine appointments, sitting at the table. And he said, so where are you from? So I said, I'm from Rhema. And he goes, no, you can't be from Rhema. We're all Rhema. He brought his whole team with 10, 15 people there. So I said, no, I'm not from Rhema. I just didn't know what I was going to do. So I thought I'd come along and have a look and see. And he was the pastor of the children's ministry with all his 10 or 15 people that were there. And from there, just went from strength to strength. And God has promoted the children that we've dealt with and helped us. And we've done a whole lot of different things with children's ministry. So for the conference, it's something that somebody needs to look at. If you're young at heart, we've all got children in us. We all enjoy having a lot of fun. And children's ministers, let me say to you this way, is always hard work. When a pastor comes to preach at church, he brings his Bible. When a children's minister comes to preach, he brings a trailer load of stuff. Or a box that's around the corner that's got all my other stuff behind the stage over here. So you bring in, it's very visual, and it's very a lot of fun, and we try and make it exciting for the children. So listen, think about it next week or next month or the 16th it is, eh? When we do have some fun and you guys have got to think of what to do and where to go, we are running the training day there. We've got lots of exciting things, some of the stuff that I've done over here. We just elaborate on how much fun it is to have children. And one thing that I just want to just impart into your hearts is that these children are our future. It is very, very important that we actually teach them at a young age. There's a 4-14 window in their lives. From the age of 4 till the age of 14, they're like sponges. And in that age, we can either build biblical principles in their lives so that they will carry on with that after the age of 14, or Satan gets hold of them in the round and leads them down the wrong path because they are susceptible to influence, susceptible to what is fun. And sometimes, you know, we need to make children's church fun. We need to make children's church joyous and something that they can remember and that they want to come back next week because it's exciting. And this is what we're trying to teach people, that, and different churches, we've done the conference down in Stellenbosch in September. We ran that whole conference and we had so much fun. The testimonies coming from that over there was also great and wonderful, that we're touching little children's hearts, because I would rather them follow Jesus than follow somebody that's going to lead them down the wrong path. And we teach them more biblical principles. I just want to read to you before I go on. I've got another couple of object lessons. Do you want to see a couple more object lessons, boys and girls? I've got a couple of object lessons that I want to do. Facts of the ministry. I just want to say this in Proverbs 22 verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he must go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from him. So whatever we teach our children now, they remember. They're like sponges. They will follow that on. Maybe they will stumble a little bit through life and get led down the wrong path, but we're assured that when we do that and we teach them from the ages of 4 to 14, that they will have a good, strong foundation in God. Another thing is that I want to just say is, I forgot what I was going to say. I was thinking so far ahead of myself. Uncle Trevor does this, you know, he gets a little bit confused. But yeah, so what we need to do is just teach them.
Thank you so much, Trevor. Really, really, really appreciate it. Yeah, now that's tough following up on you. I should have had you at the end. Okay. But the kids, those kids are still here. You guys can go now with Uncle Alex. there at the back. Alex right at the back. The kiddies are still here. You guys can go to Kiddies Church now. If you guys wanna go. You can have some fun outside. And yeah, what's so amazing is a few weeks ago, we had a baptism at my house, and then just on the way out, somebody just accidentally ran into my gate, and I hope the poor soul has recovered from that experience. And so my gate was broken, so I had to phone somebody to come and fix the gate for me. And a few days later, the gentleman phoned me back, and he said he's so sorry that he couldn't come the previous week because he and his wife went down to Cape Town to do a children's church ministry training. And I'm like, don't tell me it was with Shofar. He says, yeah, I was with Shofar. And so the guy who came to fix my gate was Trevor. And we've been in contact with them to come and do the training for us at the Kiddies Church at Pretoria. So if this isn't a divine connection, I don't know what a divine connection is. So the person, you know who you are, ran into my gate. You were used by the Lord to to connect us again with Trevor. And I think it was about a 2-hour conversation in between he fixed my gate as well. But we had such fun. Just carrying at my house, and what a blessing. So I really want to encourage you, if your heart was stirred, please give your name at the back, the info table, and we'll get you some more information. Okay. I've got three very short scriptures that I want to read with you. Psalm 127, verse 1. I want to read that for you, and the title of my sermon this morning is Building 101 for Dummies. Last week we went on a walking tour through Johannesburg, and a whole bunch of interesting facts we learned. And amongst others, the gentleman stopped in front of the big, shiny, bling building close to the stock exchange. I don't know if you noticed that one. It's like built of glass completely. And an incredible story was that the gentleman who designed that building was an award-winning architect from, I think it was from New York. Incredible guy who won so many prizes. And they thought, I think it was during the 70s, it was going to be a brilliant idea to get this guy to come and build some of his masterpieces in Johannesburg. And so he came and he built that building. But he never had experience with building buildings where you have so much sunlight as you have in Johannesburg. And so what happened as they were building this thing with such a lot of glass, it became impossible for people to drive to work because of the glare of these glass panels. The buildings around this building, their air conditioning expenses went through the roof because the sunlight that reflected off this one building was being built heated up all the other buildings around it. So eventually people started moving away out of the buildings around this one particular building. So there was a brilliant architect, they had a brilliant design, but it was in completely the wrong context and it actually did a lot of damage. And it actually, what was supposed to be a masterpiece and was supposed to be something that was a huge attraction, actually led to a lot of the city actually emptying around it. And so I was thinking about that and about how important it is for us who are building in the house of the Lord and what the Lord has called us to do, to not just have a wonderful plan, but to be flexible in how we apply that plan. Now sometimes we can be so, we've got the blueprint, we know what we need to do, we're going to do this come hell or high water. But we need to be able to hear from the Lord, Lord, within our context, where we are, how do we need to apply this? And not just run after wonderful ideas because somebody has written a latest book or newest blog or brought out whatever else, but to find out from the Lord, what is the Lord saying to us? So I want to share just three scriptures with us for where I believe we are at as a church. And Psalm 127 speaks about this. And Solomon, and he says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. And I stole this verse from Steph. I was speaking to Steph in the week, and just after he went through the ordeal at his house, and he shared this scripture with me, and I thought, oh man, it's going to make a wonderful sermon, Steph. So thank you. And I do that all the time. I listen. You guys think I just come and do a pastoral visit? No, I come to steal a sermon from you. Okay, I hear what the Lord is doing in your life, and you share a scripture. I think, that's it. I'm going to use that one. All right, Steph, so thank you. The Psalm 127, what's interesting, and Steph and I spoke about this, is that he say, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. There's a partnership here. He also says that unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And very often in our lives, we find ourselves either on one side of the partnership or on the other side. In other words, we leave all the building to the Lord, and we don't labor at all. So the Lord needs to do all the building of the house, because Scripture says, unless the Lord builds the house. So Lord, you must build the house. You must bring in the finances. You must bring in the people. You must do everything. He says, no, the laborers must still labor. There still needs to be labor that needs to take place. People still need to build. But if they build without the Lord, then it is in vain. He also says that unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. So God watches over us, but the reality is that the watchers still need to stand watch as well. But if you do this in isolation, that is when the problem comes in. If you do this in your own strength, that is where the challenge comes in. And I believe that for us, just as we're busy building, and as we're in this room, we're busy building, and so many of us, we new careers, we're busy building. We've just gotten married, we're busy building. We maybe sowing kisses into the offering basket, busy building for your future. You just fallen pregnant, you're busy building for the future. And so many of us, and having moved in here, I believe the Lord just wants to say to us again that He's committed to seeing that we do not labor in vain. It's not His heart's desire for us to get to the end of our 5 years in the city or 15 years in the city and to walk away with a feeling of, you know, like you build a beautiful building, but now it's standing empty. In actual fact, there's alienated people around you. He wants us to build something, as a song that we sang, which will be a home to people. That people will come and they will feel home. They will feel, I want to be here. And whether that is in my own house, whether it is in my car as I pick up people and I drive them around, or whether it is within this physical building that the Lord has given us for the time being, His desire is for us to build a place where people will feel welcome, where people will feel accepted, where they will feel the warmth of His love. And for me, I just really feel strongly in my heart, the Lord is saying to us that He is watching over us. That He is watching over us and He is partnering with us, and He wants us to know that. He wants us to know that our labor will not be in vain. He wants us to know that the sacrifices that we are making in our individual and personal capacities to decide to follow the Lord, irrespective of what our friends are saying, irrespective of what our family background might be saying. Yesterday, we had a few gentlemen together, and we were talking about the standard the Lord holds us to. I read an article in the Men's Health magazine. Yes, the Men's Health magazine. You know what they say? Men's Health says, the magazine men live by. And that's the slogan of Men's Health. And I thought it might be good for me to see what men live by, what's in this thing. And about once every year or so, I buy this thing, because at the beginning of the year especially, you find the big three come out. You know, how to get your best life ever. Yeah. How to make this year better than the year before. How to get the six-pack in three easy ways. How to be successful in your career. And how to seduce any woman. That's more or less what it's about. And the one guy wrote a letter, and he said, it's all about starting afresh. And he starts off and he says, I'm a dad of a little girl, and I'm not a porn addict. I only watch it 3 or 4 times a week. That's how. And I thought, okay, all right, okay. There's obviously a standard here that, you know, I'm absolutely like gobsmacked by this. You're not an addict. You only just, I think it was 2 or 3 times. It wasn't 3 or 4. Yeah, it's 2 or 3 times a week. He says, I watch porn, but I'm not an addict. But I did realize that this isn't healthy for me. So he goes on and he explains how he went cold turkey and he walked away from it, and there was benefits to it. He's got a better relationship with his wife and with his little girl. So it ended off on a positive note. But I thought, my word, you know, if this is the standard that many men are living by, it says, just compare yourself with the next guy. So at least you're not as bad as the previous guy. You're not as bad as the guy sitting next to you in the office. Whereas one of our brothers yesterday said that he was working in his company in an open floor environment, and suddenly a voice comes from the other side of the office and says, can I mention your name? Ian, have you been to a strip club? It's like they're busy working, and out of the middle of nowhere, this girl asks him this question. And says, no. And she's like, see, I told you, they are more like him, something like that. they had this conversation. This woman was arguing with many of the other guys in this office space that there are actually more men than just her husband that hasn't been to a strip club yet. But they were the exception. And I believe the Lord is saying to us that He sees the choices and He sees the sacrifices, and He wants to say to us, it is not in vain. Walking according to the principles of the Word, whether it is in terms of our morality, whether it is in terms of how we're going to raise our families, which things we're going to put first, it is not in vain. And sometimes when you're in the middle of the situation, sometimes when you're in the middle of having to decide whether you're going to go with all the other guys who always have the bachelor parties there, or whether you're going to be the stuck up and just have a braai or paintball or whatever. In the moment, it's sometimes very challenging. But the Lord is saying to us, it is not in vain. It's not in vain keeping your heart soft and not allowing your heart to become hard towards the city and towards this country of ours. It's not in vain to keep it pliable and malleable so the Lord can come and He can touch your heart when somebody goes through a tough time. One of the greatest risks we are running in South Africa is to have our hearts become so cold. And so, you know, all the walls we build around us because we have to shut out the violence. And then after a while, what happens is we lose our ability to connect with people. And they're hurt, and it's heartbreaking. It's like, sometimes I just got to close the paper. I got to switch this off, and I can't sleep for hours thinking about some of the stuff that has happened. I said, God, why did you wire me this way? I wish I had a heart that was harder. So you can just go on. So you can just go on living. And the Lord is challenging us on that, I believe, as the body of Christ. Will we allow our hearts to become hard? Or will we have it soft so it can move through us? He says, in vain you rise early and stay up late toiling for food to eat. It's in vain when we build without Him. It's in vain when we watch without Him. But He says those who partner with Him, those who know that He is for them, those who know that if He can bless you with money for your studies, and He can bless you with accommodation that you need, He can bless you with a husband and the wife that you need, He can bless you with the kids that you need. A few weeks ago I was in Stanerton, and Kubus was still with me, and the Lord said that He wants to release a spirit of fruitfulness over that congregation, going through a very tough time as a congregation. And there's a specific word the Lord gave for a couple that I just felt the Lord saying they're struggling, but His spirit is there. And the Lord is not into abortions. He's not into impregnating a woman and then seeing that baby aborted. And just prayed a prayer and says, Lord, we just release a spirit of fruitfulness over this congregation, over that couple. And about 4 days ago, got the SMS, and the girl says, Hannah, you don't know me, but you know, that day when you were there, you prayed and something happened in my womb. We're 7 weeks pregnant now. I said, thank you, Jesus. And we take that for that congregation as a symbolic, prophetic act. The Lord has said that He's not into bringing something to the point of giving birth and then aborting it. He's not into stirring your heart with a dream and a passion and then throwing the dream back into your face. And, it was just a joke. Oh, it was actually for the guy next to you, not for you. That dream of having a wonderful family, that dream of having a business that will bring glory and honor to the Lord's name. It's a dream of the Lord placed there. And He is not into abortions. He is into seeing the dream come to pass. So I just want to say this to us as a church and to all of us visiting. The Lord is watching over you. And He's building with you. It's my second scripture, the Zechariah 4, verse 6. This is a word that comes to Zechariah, and Zechariah is the prophet that the Lord has placed around Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is the governor within Israel at that stage. This is about 70 years after the Israelites have been in exile. Again, been in exile a few times because of their disobedience. The Lord sends Zerubbabel and a few people back to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And Zerubbabel gets to the place where he's despondent. The guys are so intimidated by the amount of debris, the broken down state of Jerusalem. They're so intimidated by the enemies all around them that nobody wants to come to work anymore Initially, people were very excited. They were like, yeah, let's do this, man. We can rebuild this place. God is with us. And after a while, it just sort of died a slow, silent death. And Zerubbabel is sitting there all by himself. And Zechariah comes to him and says to him, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, nor my power. We're still talking about building God a house. Building God a house in my own mind where His glory can dwell. And my mind doesn't have to be a battleground all the time, but where my mind can be an incubator for the dreams of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about building a house for God where I work and where His presence can flood my office and people can open up towards me. We're talking about building God a house in my marriage where the presence of God can feel welcome so others can find shelter and can believe again and can hope again that there's still a covenant that's unbreakable. We're talking about building God a house. And the Lord is saying it is not about or by your wonderful books. It is not by your determination. It's not about gritting your teeth. It's not about just saying, come on, world, do your damnest. Should we delete that word? But do your best. I'm going to do even worse back to you. It's not about just gritting your teeth and saying, I'm going to stand. It's about realizing it's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's not by power that we build. It's not by might. It's not by power that we watch. Lord has called us to build and He has called us to watch in intercession. To stand as watchmen over the city. To stand as watchmen over each other's lives. Reino and Salonette just going through a tough time now with Reino's cancer. But I was there on Tuesday and he was saying, he asked me to say this to you, to say to you, thank you for watching with them. Thank you for being there with them, not just in word, but being there, praying with them, trusting God with them. Saying, God, this family isn't going through this alone. We're watching with them. We're standing with them. What's amazing about Children's Church is also, I believe, the challenge the Lord is holding before us to say, but let each other's kids be our kids. Let's say we're going to watch together over the little ones the Lord gives us. Let's say we're going to watch together over the pregnant wombs and pray and not just leave it for that couple to trust the Lord this baby will be healthy. But it is our baby. That breakthrough at your job, that promotion, it is ours because God has given that to you for His glory. That house that He has provided for you, it is ours because God has given it to you to be a light tower in your community. And there are people who need to know that there's hope in their salvation, so it is ours. Let's watch together. Let's build together. And he comes and says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And I want to say to you guys, this is my challenge. This is my challenge. When I look at what our city needs, when I look at what our country needs, when I look at what I need, what my family needs, this is my word, okay, that I'm sharing with you. I stole Steph's word. I'm giving you permission to steal mine. Right? Lord is saying it's not by might. It's not about your strength. It's not about your strength. It's about my spirit that is more committed to seeing Jerusalem be the glorious place I want it to be than you could ever be. He's much more committed to the dreams He has placed in your heart. Because it's His dreams, it's not yours. It's His. When I get people to come and babysit our kids and we leave them there for a day or two at their house, you know, I want my kids back again. I want them back. You're just babysitting God's dream for a bit. What condition are you going to give that dream back to Him? And to know that the dream the Lord has placed with you in your house, it carries His DNA. My kids, they don't carry your DNA, they carry my DNA. And God's dream carries God's DNA. And if we would realize that and give Him scope to just come and do what He wants to do, I believe we'll stand amazed. And so Zerubbabel is sitting there and he's looking at the ruins of the city and it's like a mountain to him. And he's saying, what are you, O great mountain? He looks at this, all the ruins, all the walls that have been broken down, lying there in ruins for 70 years. What are you, O great mountain? And I want to encourage you to look at your mountain, not to be in denial, but to look at it and say, what are you? Give it a name.
Is it fear? Is it bankruptcy? Is it anxiety? Is it cancer? Is it what? Molestation or poor self-image? What is it? And then we speak to that mountain. What are you? Before Zerubbabel was the man appointed and anointed by God for their destiny. God has given that dream to him to rebuild those city walls, as he has given to you a dream and a purpose. It says, before Zerubbabel, before Ian, before Jean, before Steph, before Ludwig, you will become a plane. You will be made level. And he will bring forth the top stone, the cornerstone, with shouts of grace, grace to it. I love this. Another translation says, you will bring forth a cornerstone out of the rubble and you will shout to the stone, grace, grace. Boys and girls, can we shout grace, grace, grace to your mountain? Thank you, Uncle Trevor. You've given me permission to just like go out there. Person to him, just like everybody else is mild. You've got a mountain to which you've got to shout, grace. Grace. What is grace? It is God's enabling power to get you to do what you need to do. That is what grace is. It's not mercy. Remember, mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Now you're driving down the highway in your 1976 Ford Escort. Okay, and you break the speed limit by some miracle. You get pulled over. And you should get the ticket. Right? A traffic officer doesn't give you the ticket. That is mercy. You don't get. You should get this fine. He doesn't give it to you. That is mercy. Then he says, I want you just to stand tight for a moment. Come with me. And he walks around the corner. And there's a beautiful black Lamborghini for you. So you've broken the speed limit, but I can see you're stressed out of your mind. So you were on your way to your kid that's in hospital. And you're trying so hard to be a good dad. I want you to walk away from that Ford Escort. Here's the keys to this Lambo. To get you to where you need to be. That is grace. That is grace. When you get what you do not deserve to get you to where you need to be. That is grace. Something beyond what you could ever deserve. Ever. You would just walk past the store, the dealership from time to time. You would drool at this Lambo. Read up about it. Go to YouTube. Watch it. Read up. Oh, it goes from 0 to 103 seconds. Oh, it'd be amazing. But it's not for me. Grace comes and says, here's the keys. Here's the keys. You know, with my spirit, you won't make an accident. With my spirit, you won't get the fines. But you will get to where you need to be. And you know what? You'll enjoy the ride. And how often we get to what God wants us to do, and you're like, oh man, I'm in my little Ford Escort, and I'm going to make it. You know, praise God, I'm going to make it, but I'm going to enjoy it. Now the Lord says, man, there's going to be a smile on your buckies as you drive with that thing. That is grace. Just beyond, I know for some of you, like, Lambo, Smambo, what is that? Think about the dream that you know the Lord has given you. And what you need to fulfill that dream. God's provision is called not determination. It's not called knuckling down. It's called grace. And when you get that grace inspires in you knuckling down. That grace inspires in you determination. Naturally. Joyously. Jono had the opportunity to sit in one the other day. I didn't have to beg him, please get in the car, Jono. Just please go and sit here in this Lambo, please. It's like, whoa. Got in there. It's like a little kid. I thought, that's how God wants us to be. Right, with the grace that he has given us. Some of us are so afraid to use the grace.
You're so afraid to trust Him, to ask Him, to do the calculations with God. And says, Lord, I need this, and this is how it looks to me. I think I'm going to need this, and I'm leaving this with You. I trust You. You see what He can do with that. The Lord goes on to speak to Zerubbabel. If you want to name your kid that, that's okay. Just warn me before I do the baby dedication so I can practice. Also, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. It says, the hands of Zerubbabel was here at the beginning. You've got a stake in this house. That moment when you walked into the presence of the Lord and the Lord spoke the dream into your heart. That moment when you were walking out in the felt, you saw the rainbow and other people saw it as well. But for you, it was a sign that God was going to do something incredible in your family. You were there at the beginning when God spoke it into your heart. You were there. And the Lord says, listen, my heart for you is not just to be there at the beginning, not just to start strong, but to finish strong. To finish what the Lord has called you to do. That is His heart. Not halfway jobs, finishing the work. Your hands were there at the beginning. I'm going to speak this over you prophetically. You're not going to fall away. Your hands were there at the beginning. And the Lord says, you will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Zechariah says, he says, Zerubbabel, I'm here to encourage you. The Lord has placed me here to prophesy a word of encouragement over you. And then comes the challenge. For who has despised the day of small things? He's saying to Zerubbabel, where you're sitting right now, feels small, feels insignificant. It's another stone that I'm putting on top of another stone. But I say, nah, this is a work beyond anything you can imagine. But your challenge is not to despise the small beginning. Not to despise where you're at right now. Not to despise the moment where I am can be to you what He wants to be. So many of us want to push the fast forward button out of our circumstances. And we miss what I am wants to be. What He wants to do. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise where you're at right now. It's not a cul-de-sac. But the Lord, there's always a new beginning. There's always, always, always an open door into the next and the new that the Lord has for you. And that is my word. Simple as that. Can we stand? And I want to pray with us. Hallelujah. Let us close our eyes. Father, I thank You, God, that we can be here this morning. And ushers, if you guys can get the communion ready for us, thanks a lot. And Father, I want to thank You for every, God, every boy and girl that came this morning, God. Because at the end of the day, we are simply boys and girls of our daddy. God, and as Trevor has said, we carry in our hearts, Lord, little boys and little girls who want to have fun, want to just laugh until our bellies hurt. But You also know, God, how those boys and those girls, for so many of us, Lord, were forced to grow up so quickly and have grown so disillusioned with our circumstances and with the world around us. And I just sense, Lord, that You are here to renew youth. You are here, God, to renew innocence this morning. You are here, God, to renew joy, to renew hope, to renew an excitement for the future. An excitement, God, for the day. To say, this is the day that You have given me, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. This day of small beginnings, this day of a small step, this day of a small step of obedience. This day of hoping again, believing again. And Father, I thank You, God, in Jesus' name, that we can look to You as the one that makes all things new. There are a few of us that believe in my heart that as we're sitting, standing here this morning, you find yourself a little bit like Zerubbabel in the sense that you've been working rather on the walls of what the Lord has given you. And it feels to you like, God, when will I ever be free of these ruins? When will I ever be free from the ruins that I didn't even cause? God, I walked into this and I was given this. I was handed these ruins. You've asked me to make a difference. You've asked me to break the bloodline curses. You've asked me to start again. You've asked me to embrace and to forgive and to release. But God, I still see the ruins. I'm feeling so alone. There's somebody here and you, in this week, you felt so incredibly alone. There was a spirit of loneliness that was sent against you to isolate and alienate your heart. The Lord this morning wants to invite you to a place of intimacy with Him, a place of fellowship with your brothers and your sisters. I believe it has been a demonic assignment that has been sent against you to cause you to feel so terribly alone. Like Elijah once stage felt that I'm all by myself, God. There's no one else who understands this. No one else who knows what I'm going through. And I want you, just as we have our eyes closed, if that is you, and you just this week, you just battled with this sense of incredible loneliness. It's not as if your life fell apart, but it just sort of almost all of a sudden came upon you. And I want to pray for you. I want you to just raise your right hand quickly. Where you stand is raise it quickly so I can pray for you. It's one, two hands. There are more. And we'll just raise it nice and high. One more time. Just if that is you and you felt just like you're hitting a brick wall in your prayers to God even. He's always been your source. He has always been the one that you could run to. And it was as if you just ran into this wall. You just bang, 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 ran into it. I want you to raise your hand. As Peter raised his hand to Jesus and he says, Lord, I'm sinking. I want you to raise it. That is you. Father, God, you see these hands and I thank you, Jesus, that you called my brothers and my sisters, God, out of the boat towards you, Jesus. It wasn't the voice of a man. It wasn't the voice of their feelings or their emotions that they followed when they decided to follow you and to live recklessly for you, to live with abandon for you. It was your voice. You called them. You said, leave the boat. Walk towards. They followed you. And I thank you, Jesus, that as the waves have come against them, that you are close enough to grab hold of them this morning, Lord, and to lift them up. To lift them up. To look them straight in the eye. Say to them that I know you. And I have called you. And it is still upon the rock of the revelation of my love in you that I will build my church. I've given to you keys to the kingdom. I've given to you keys to the kingdom. Keys into my presence. Keys into true fellowship. You are not the flickering flame that will be snuffed out by the wind of opposition and demonic attack. Flame in you is mine. It is mine. Father, I thank you. I can break the assignment of loneliness, Lord, over these lives. And I can confess over them, Father, that they are not orphans and strangers to your grace and to the fellowship of your saints, but they are part of the household of God. They are part of the household of God. I pray this morning their hearts will know. They have a home in your heart. They have a home with us. Jesus' name. There are three other people, and you have, as I just spoke about the dreams, you stressed out of your skin. You have these kids that have been dropped off at your house, so to speak, that you have to babysit, and you are stressed out of your mind. So you don't know what their feeding patterns are. You don't know whether you're giving them enough. You're afraid that your Father God is going to come back and He's actually going to snatch that baby away from you. He's going to say, you're disqualified as a babysitter of my dreams. You're irresponsible. You're selfish. You're not worthy of carrying my dreams. Now I want to say to you that grace has not run out on your life. The Holy Spirit is over your life, proclaiming, and over your house, proclaiming grace, grace,
grace, enabling power of God to see you through, to enable you to take this baby that has been given to you and see it grow strong in favor with God and with man. And you don't have to be intimidated by the desire in your heart, the sense of urgency that you have at times when you're confronted with things around you. You say, but God, that is wrong. That needs to change. The Lord is saying, I've placed that baby of a cry for justice. It's my baby. So there's someone here, and the Lord has actually called you into politics. He has called you to take a stand for truth and righteousness. And he's going to open up doors for you, successive doors over the next 5 years, I sense. But you don't want to embrace that because you don't want to, you're like, God, anything but that. I'm afraid of the power, how it will corrupt my heart. And the Lord says that He will keep your heart. Will keep your heart. But there's influence that He has already given you. There's a cause that He has already given you. It's small, but you need to be faithful over it. Allow Him to breathe upon you. If you're just struggling with your dreams, just with that baby, in the sense that you're specifically stressed, okay, you're not just mildly worried, you are stressed. You're like, you don't sleep well. You don't eat well. Your digestive system is a mess. So we have our eyes closed. I want you to raise your hands, please. I pray for you. I believe the Lord is going to release you with a joy. Joy of the Lord is going to be your strength for the dream that He has given you. Just raise it nice and high so I can see it. Nice and high. One more time. If that is you, you're stressed. It's impacting your relationships. The Lord is wanting to restore the joy of His salvation over you. Fill you up this morning to get you to where He needs you to be. I just want you to raise your hand. Father, I thank You for my brothers. Thank You for my sister, Father. And I thank You, Lord, that I can release over them, God, a joy that comes from You. A joy that comes from the fountain of life that is inside of them. The fountain that will not run dry. The fountain, Lord God, that You said, rivers of living waters will come out of our innermost being. And I speak to those wells this morning in Jesus' name. And now I command you to open up. I command you to release the joy that comes from the Spirit of God in Jesus' name over my brothers and my sisters. And Father, I thank You that You will enable them, God, because they put their hands to the plow. They were there at the beginning. You say to them, You will with joy see the completion of my destiny and my calling. With joy. With joy. So I thank You for the baptism in joy, my God. A baptism in joy, my God. A baptism in joy, my God. We'll carry them. We'll elevate them, Father. In Jesus' name. The Lord just showed me there's someone here, and you went to school, and I think you went grade 2 or grade 3, and really struggling. At one stage, your teacher came next to you and sort of whispered into your ear. He says, you will forever struggle with this. You will never get this right. It's like condemned you to being a midget. You're stuck there. You will always struggle. And lately, it's been coming back to you. You will always struggle. So you've made a peace with the fact that your walk with Christ is going to be hard. Your walk with Christ is going to be like a battle. It's almost as if you take it's almost like a perverse joy that you get out of just battling, because it becomes such a constant companion to you. You don't know what your life will be like without the struggles. The Lord this morning wants to release you. To walk into your graduation, you in your graduation, you didn't have 1 ounce of joy because you felt like you didn't deserve it. You felt like you were put through from standard to standard. You didn't deserve to graduate. The Lord says to you, you are worthy for the ultimate graduation to sonship because of the blood of Jesus. You are worthy of graduating into your birthright. Being the head and not the tail.
in spite of circumstances, to experience Him, to experience breakthrough, to experience victory. That is you. I want you to raise your hands so I can pray for you. I just want you to raise your hands. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name, my God, for the cloud of witnesses. My sister's graduation in the spirit this morning, God, that says that this place is a place that has been earned by you for her. Like anybody else who has ever deserved a place, it's earned by the blood of Jesus. Father, I thank you that we can release her into a confident, bold walk in the purposes of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can nullify and cancel those words, those curses spoke over her destiny, spoken over her mental faculties specifically, God, and we release the wisdom of God. We release the creativity of God to a greater measure. We release, Lord, the ability to tap into the realm of the Spirit and to perceive correctly, to apply that in the natural. In Jesus' name. I want us to partake of the communion now. And I want just to thank the Lord, just where we're standing. Just thank the Lord for the bread. If you still need a piece, if you can just raise your hand if you still need a piece of bread. You guys over here, just to my right. Thanks, Jen. While we're waiting, let's just close our eyes and I just want you to thank the Lord for where you're at. Okay, just say, God, I thank you for the small beginnings in my life. I thank you, Lord, that in you I will finish what you have called me to do. You know what it is, and so you can just softly say that, Jesus. Thank you that you didn't give up halfway to the cross. You didn't give up in the desert when you were tempted. You didn't give up in the Garden of Gethsemane. You finished what the Father called you to do. And in you, I can also finish what you have placed before me. Worshiping God. We praise you. Thank you. We honor you, Jesus. We magnify you. Sunet, just come and share the word that the Lord gave you. Really believe it's a word for quite a few of us this morning.
Hello, church. During worship, I just had Philippians 2, verse 13 on my heart, and I'm reading out of the Amplified. Not in your own strength, for it's God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both the will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. And with that, I just felt like there's some of us that's struggling, and we're going, God, I don't even want to do this. I have no will, I have no desire to do this. And God is going, but I've promised to even give you that will and a desire to do what I'm asking of you to do. It's not out of your own strength. Don't try and do this out of your own strength, because I'm supplying.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you, God. Let's just take the bread in our hands and just hold it nice and tight. Father, thank you that as we feel the bread in our hands, as we hold it, that it represents the greatest miracle, that the omnipotent, all-powerful, ever-present God, that you became human You didn't shout at us from a distance. You came so close that we could feel you. We could wrap our arms around you. That you were once a very small baby, vulnerable. The mercy of people and the elements around you. That you know what it means to be vulnerable and to feel so vulnerable. So I thank you that this morning, Lord, as your word came, that your strength is enough for those of us especially who feel so utterly vulnerable this morning. And that you say that as Jesus, you grew up, so Father, you watch over our lives. And this bread represents the finished work of Christ on the cross. That you went all the way, that you were broken for us, God, so we can be made whole. So I bring every brokenness, Father, in our minds, in our bodies, in our relationships, in our finances, every area of our lives, Father, I bring that before you. And I thank you, Jesus, that you took the punishment for its wholeness upon you. And we can thank you for it. We can accept it. Thank you for dying for us, bleeding for us, being broken for us, that we can be made whole. Let's eat together. Jesus' name. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blood. We thank you that for the joy set before you, you endured the cross and you despised the shame. And through your stripes, Lord, we are healed. That your blood has made the way for us. Opened a door for us that can never be shut if we choose to walk through it. This morning, God, again, we walk boldly to your presence, the fullness of what you have for us. We thank you, Lord, that you came, you bled and you died for us, sinful people. You bled and you died for this church, for the city, for this nation of ours, God, where so much blood has been shed. We thank you that your blood speaks a better word than every other drop of blood. Speaks about mercy that triumphs over judgment. Speaks about grace that has come to look for us and that has found us. This morning, God, over us who belong to you, grace is being shouted over our lives. So we drink to your grace. We thank you for doing for us what we could never do in our own strength. In Jesus' name. Let's drink together. Hallelujah. I want to thank you so much for being here. Thank you for just strengthening my heart and worship. Just wonderful warmth experience with you in the presence of the Lord. If you are visiting us, please, if you have filled in your information, the little cards, just give it in the info table if you haven't done so already. Maybe just want to grab somebody and say to them, man, just please pray for me. Something in my heart. My heart just feels a little bit raw. I just need some prayer. Just grab some anointed person sitting next to you there. Or maybe you want to come to the front and we can pray for you here. The band is going to bless us with whichever song they feel they want to bless us with. And we're going to sing along, those of you that can. We are officially dismissed. The Lord bless you. Have a fantastic Sunday. Thank you so much for being here. Remember Uncle Trevor. Remember that the Lord has a calling and a destiny upon your life. 10 to 1 with the kids. So there's info at the information table if you need some more. Lord bless you.